Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter number 37. Whenever you begin a theme for the year, you envision preaching all talking about it all year long and things like that. And we have alluded to it. Most of our messages were found at the beginning of the year. We talked about delighting in His way, delighting in His presence, delighting and just the leadership of God and delighting in God's Word. But today we're going to look a little bit about not worrying. The title of this morning's message is Don't Fret. When you come to Psalm chapter 37, our theme for the year is Delight in the Lord. And the theme verse is Psalms 37:4, where the Bible says, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And the world is full of worriers. I went out this past week, and I know many of you probably don't do Black Friday shopping. I know some of you do. I saw a few of them while I was out there. It's amazing the impressions that some people have that day. I like watching people. I try not to stare at people. That gets me in trouble. But I like seeing people's reactions and how people act and things like that. And there's a lot of people out there that are fretting and worrying about a lot of things. They're anxious. And I was at Walmart, and at Walmart they had this special that was going on. I was one of those people there at 6 o'clock, and I just wanted something simple. It wasn't one of the big items. And there was didn't have to wait, showed up just a few minutes beforehand and went and got stood right where it was going to be at. There was one lady in front of me. And the lady in front of me, I went to go pick up the item, and the lady in front of me took her cart and blocked the whole item, and she waited like 3 or 4 minutes until she found what she wanted, and then she let the other people, me and behind me, get the stuff. She was worried somebody was going to take something that she had. She was concerned about it. She had to get her stuff, and she sat there. It was a little bit of an older lady. She was trying to figure it out, and she was worried about not, she was being a little bit rude, but it wasn't a big deal, but she was worried about not getting it. And I saw people talking and people upset because they didn't have something in stock or this or that, and how all their life was wrapped around just a thing, an item. They were delighting in getting a good deal more than delighting in behaving properly. I didn't see too many things. There was my son and had said he had heard some people yelling, a little bit of a fight, but nothing like many, many years earlier. But as I went around and we didn't spend a lot of time, but looking at different people and seeing people's reactions, waiting in the line, and just the different way people act and things do, you know, I didn't see a lot of Christ in a lot of people. And I know some of those people, I'm sure, claim to be Christians, but they were delighting in the wrong thing. And I began thinking a little bit, and as the Lord led me to the passages of Scripture this morning, there's a couple of main things I want us to focus on. Number one is we should not be fretting, we should not be worrying. Number two is, you know, what are the things that we delight after? Or more importantly, what is the desires of our heart? Because I went and studied the word desire a little bit, and I thought that might have been the main context of the message, but it was not the way the Lord led. But, you know, there's desires. There's sometimes good desires. Paul talked about how his desire is to see his people saved in the book of Romans. That was something he was passionate about. That was a good desire. But then I go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and Eve had the desire to be like God. You know, she desired the fruit. So there's good desires and there's bad desires. And when you come to chapter 37, verse number 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I wonder, what is the desire of our heart today? What is it that we would like to have more than anything else? Now, like I said, out on Black Friday, you know, sometimes I believe that they rather have that one coffee pot you can get free with a rebate more than anything else, because the way they act, it's just a great desire. They're going to get a good deal. And once again, I like good deals, and I don't mind being around people. So because of that, I don't mind going out there. I know people think it's crazy because of the traffic and because of the parking and because of the crowds. I kind of like being around lots of people sometimes, and I don't mind it. But what is it that you truly desire in life? Because the Bible says if you'll delight thyself also in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But the connection that's there is we have to delight in God. So what are the things that you really get great enjoyment out of? Let's start here in verse number 1. The Bible says, uses the word fret not. And that's where the title of the message comes from, don't fret. In the book of Philippians chapter number 4, there's a famous verse that says, be careful for nothing. You can use that word careful, or we would consider in modern day today English, anxious. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, But in everything, my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So according to what this verse here is saying in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, we're not supposed to be worriers. We're not supposed to be anxious. But the world is full of worriers. Here in chapter 37, David is writing this as an older man, and he's saying, look, don't fret not thyself of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Now, here's the thing. He says, look, you do not have to fret about them. You do not have to worry about them. You don't have to be anxious about them. Consider their end. Now, once again, sometimes people are worried about when things like, sometimes people wonder, well, how come God allowed Hitler to do this, or God allowed Mussolini to do this, or God allowed this person, or how come? Well, consider their end. Now, where are they today? Because they've never accepted Christ, they're in hell today because they never have faith and truth in God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he turned to God, and I believe he's in heaven based off the testimony is found in Daniel chapter number 4. But the evildoers that David is talking about, and he's seen a bunch of evildoers. He's seen what Saul tried to do to him. He's seen what some of the other men try to do to him over and over. And he says, look, don't fret about those people. Don't worry about the workers of iniquity. Consider their end. Someday, they're not going to be able to harm you anymore. And that's what the Bible's talking about here, with eternity in perspective. Why are we worrying today? The world is full of warriors. Some are occasional warriors. Some are chronic warriors. And I doubt any of us who are able to escape the woes of worry altogether. But the desire that God has is that we will trust in him and trust in his way and not be anxious or careful or worry about anything. I read a cute little story here. It says, an anxious housewife in Nebraska said, I have so many problems that if something terrible happened to me, it would at least take me 2 weeks before I could worry about it. Vance Havner said this. He says, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Another preacher put it this way. And the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. George Mueller said that. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And can you imagine how much anxiety many of us would have if we had orphanages that were filled with thousands of kids and never asked for any type of donations, and the donations just come in, he's just trusted God for those things? And he's the one that's saying, hey, look, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. When you start worrying and when you start being anxious about things, that is where your faith is stopping and you're beginning to trust in your worrying and your anxiety. But the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. One medical doctor put it this way, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Blessed is the man who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night. And I thought, if we are busy doing the work, whether it's work at our job or work in the Lord, and we're too sleepy at night, then we're not going to have time to worry. Lots of times, many times, the people that are worrying the most are the people that do not have as much to do, or they're worrying instead of doing the things that they should be doing. One other preacher put it this way, the secret of supernatural living, he says, worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is an insult of God. Worrying is like one who says, God, I do not think you can handle it this time. The ignorant fret because they don't know enough. The educated fret because they know too much. The poor fret because they don't have any money. The rich fret because they're afraid they're going to lose what they have. The old fret because they're facing death. The young fret because they're facing an unsure future. And yet God says to fret not. But how do we do that? And that's what these next verses talk about. How can I get out of being a worrier, anxious, and learn to leave things over to the Lord? Here in Psalm chapter 37, some of the greatest verses in the Bible, here in verses 3 through 7. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And think what the Bible is saying there, if we're willing to trust in him, and we're willing to act upon that, trust in him and do good, God's going to take care of us, going to take care and make sure we have a spot to be, and that we're always going to be fed. But it goes a step farther here. You can see the building here. You're trusting in the Lord, and you're doing good. But not only just doing good, you're actually delighting in doing good. That's the amazing thing. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Not only do you enjoy, not only do you do good, you enjoy it. You find great pleasure in the Lord, in the things of the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dearly Father, Lord, as we come to this time of year where there seems like so much to do and so many things that go on, there's many, many people that worry about so many things that will not matter next year, things that definitely will not matter in eternity. But they lose their peace, and they lose their energy, and they lose their time worrying and fretting over things that won't matter in 1,000 years from now. God, I pray as a people, you help us today, and that you give me exactly the words that you once said. I know I'm utterly dependent upon you, and Lord, I want you to speak through me today, that you help us today to not worry and not fret because of what others are doing. But instead, help us to trust. Help us to do good. Help us to delight. Help us to commit. Help us to rest. And Lord, help us to wait on you. Or just some simple reminders today. But help us to take them to heart. Across this room, Lord, there's so many people here that love one another and love each other, and they love you. And Lord, we want to see our church grow. We want to see our church grow spiritually and also numerically. We want to see people saved. And Lord, we want to be a blessing to people this Christmas season. But Lord, it's not going to happen if we're not have the right focus. And we spend our time worrying and anxious and fretful, Lord, we're going to miss out a great opportunity we have to tell others about the coming of Jesus Christ. Speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. It still amazes me. I know I've alluded to it before, how the devil can take something that is supposed to be fun and enjoyable and turn it into something that's completely opposite. So we're like Thanksgiving, supposed to be thankful for the things you have, but everybody's worried about commercialism and Black Friday. So we're like Christmas and the coming of Christ, but everybody sets that aside and talks about Santa Claus or talks about the movies or talks about different parts of Christmas they enjoy the best, but they leave out the most important part. And here I've seen over and over increasingly a time that's supposed to be enjoyable and getting maybe a gift for appreciation for somebody else, people begin to fret about it. They begin to worry about it. They become overwhelmed with it, become consumed about it. They begin delighting in the things of, instead of delighting in the Lord, they begin delighting in the things of this world, and that's where their focus is. And the Bible's saying here, look, don't fret about anything. You say, well, Pastor, how am I not supposed to worry about things? How am I supposed to just keep on and just rejoice and delight? And that's where the Bible's saying here, there's some different things. There's five different things I want you to look at today. First thing is, it's just simple as trust in the Lord. The literal translation of this word trust is that you are face down on the ground, no visible means of support. You're just trusting those that are above you. It's literally, most of us have never been in that kind of position because we're able to see options. We're able to think, okay, I can do this or I can do that, but it means literally face down and you're just trusting, and that's the way we're supposed to be with the Lord. We're not supposed to say, okay, I can trust God or I can trust my checkbook. No, that's not even supposed to be an option. I can trust God or I can trust my feelings. We're supposed to trust in the Lord, and as we trust in him, we're not going to worry as much. If everything is going wrong, you say, okay, I'm going to try to fix this. Guess what? We're not trusting in him. That's when our faith ends and our anxiety begins. Sometimes God puts us in a place where we don't have any options. The only thing we can do is trust in God. And we've seen people all throughout scriptures, from Joseph in the prison cell, from Paul in the prison cell, to Moses at different times, great characters in the Bible, and they had no other choice but to trust God. Think about David hiding in that cave, and Saul walking into the cave to do his business, and what could he do? He only had to trust the Lord. When he had no other hope, no other option, he trusts. So when we, if we want to follow the scripture and not fret, if we want to follow the scripture and not be careful about anything, that means I'm going to trust God with everything, and I'm going to leave everything up to him. Does that mean you don't do anything? Of course not. It means that we follow his leading. Because look at the next phrase. Not only says trust in the Lord, but what's the next phrase? And do good. It doesn't just stop there. He doesn't say just trust in the Lord and do nothing. And sometimes we need to stand still and know that he's the Lord. Sometimes we're, but it says do good. So trust in the Lord and do good. And then the Bible says that we're going to be taken care of. See, most people withdraw or they retreat when things get tough. Most people say, hey, things are not going the way they should. Maybe I should just quit. It's funny, they don't quit many times their hobbies or their interests. They just quit the things of God. They quit coming to church, or they quit serving the Lord, or they quit being a witness. So, but what the Bible is saying here, look, yes, when things get tough and things get hard, when you see it seems like the wicked is overcoming, when it seems like, as it talks about in verse number 1, about evildoers overcoming, and talks about envious men and workers of iniquity, he says, hey, when you see all that happening, trust God. Don't go that way. Trust in the Lord and do good. The next thing is, and this is my favorite part of the passage, is not only does it go into trust, it actually says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And I began praying and I began thinking, okay, what are the things I truly delight in? Do I delight in his word? I mean, that means we take extreme pleasure of reading the Bible. I know there's not a lot of people that can say, hey, I get extreme pleasure out of it. It is a work. It is the Holy Spirit. Where do you get that from? The Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, extreme pleasure. Do I delight in the Lord? Do I delight in his ways? I mean, how many of us really get extreme pleasure in forgiving somebody else? Oh. Well, that's if we're going to delight thyself also in the Lord, we're going to delight in his word. We're going to delight in his preparing us, his leading us, his direction, his provision. We're going to delight in those things. And if he tells us that we're supposed to forgive one another, how many of us get enjoyment out of forgiving somebody? A person who's trusting in the Lord does. And don't get me wrong, there are times when, you know, you see someone who's upset, someone who's repentive, and they come to you and say, man, I'm sorry for what I did. There is great joy in saying, you know, I forgave you a long time ago, or you're forgiven. Can we pray about it? There is great joy in that. But that's not oftentimes when you see somebody when they're friction and they're fighting, and one person asks for forgiveness, and the other person's like, I guess I have to. I don't want to be ungodly. I don't want to be wrong. God tells me to, so I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to do good. I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to be happy about it. So you're missing the delighting in the Lord. And there are so many people who say, okay, I'm trusting in God and I'm trusting in him for salvation. I know he's going to get me to heaven, but I'm going to be miserable here while on earth. And there are some Christians like that. And why is that? They're not delighting in the things of the Lord. Maybe they're not delighting in the way the family structure is. Maybe they're not delighting the way that that God tells us to use our money. Maybe they're not delighting in when God tells us we're supposed to be a witness. Maybe, and once again, I know there are certain things that some of us might have no issues or problems with when it comes to sin, and there might be certain things that we're really good at. You know, there are some people who think that they're really good at, you know, rejoicing the Lord. I'm delighting in singing, and that's great. What about delighting in obeying? What about delighting in that idea of being merciful and kind, forgiving one another? And see, that's what the scripture is saying here. If you want God to give you the desires of your heart, first you have to learn to delight in him. First you've got to find joy in the things that he has told us to do. Because once we delight in the Lord, there is a translation, there's the equation that happens. Then our desires begin to change. Our desires begin to be different. I begin to want to be a person that is kind. I begin to want to be a soul winner. My desires are no longer for the things of this world. My desires are no longer to get even. My desires are no longer to have my way and be prideful and have people notice me. No. I'm delighting in the Lord. I'm delighting in his ways. And I'm not going to worry about all those things. Instead, I'm going to give them over to the Lord. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to do good. And now I'm going to take it a step farther. Not only am I going to do good, I'm going to enjoy doing good. I'm going to enjoy not worrying and fretting. I'm going to give those things over to God. I'm going to repent of those things, and I'm going to turn to God and say, God, I delight in your ways because you're God and you've done all these things for me. I know you're going to tell me what's right, and I'm going to have joy in it. A true, proper obedience is doing things the right way, with the right attitude, and the right time. And what the scripture is saying here is, if we want to be a people who are not worriers, and like I said, this time of year, worrying is something that is drives sometimes people crazy. We get sometimes so busy, we forget how to enjoy Christmas. And you say, Pastor, it's your fault. You schedule all these activities. And it's not my fault. It's because, you know, God's going to take care of all, and it's great time to minister, and we still should get our rest and all those different things. But if we learn to trust in him that God's going to take care of it, we take worry out of the equation, you're going to be able to enjoy and delight in the things of the Lord. But there's many of us that don't delight. When our dreams dissolve, it is tempting to fret. When we think it should be done a certain way and God changes it, it's easy to get worrisome. Our joy is threatened when we don't get our way. The only answer to find is to find a source of joy that cannot be threatened, and that's the Lord. The Lord's not going to change. Think about that. The only answer is to find a source of joy that cannot be threatened. See, when we turn and our desires are, I want my family to be happy, and when our desires are, I want this to happen, and I want this to happen, you know, we start putting stipulations on, I'm going to be joyful, and I'm going to delight as long as I get my way. But what happens when someone dies? What happens when someone gets sick? What happens when the turkey gets burnt? Is it going to steal your joy? Nothing's going to steal your joy with the Lord, because the Lord's never going to change. What happens, and once again, these are all things that takes us a setback, but I can still delight in the Lord. I can still delight in his provisions and his place and his promises. I can delight in his pathway. I can delight in all those things, but it's only when it's God's way. And I love the promise that goes along with this. It's not only delight yourself in thyself also in the Lord, but he says he's going to give you the desires of your heart. And I began thinking about that word desire, and I began thinking, there's some bad desires in people's hearts. There really is. You see some ugly things happen out there in the world today. Some people can live so wickedly and desperately evil and enjoy it and desire it more and more and more and never get satisfied. Oh, and I'm thinking, well, the Lord's not going to give them their desires, are they? Of course he's not. But even as a Christian, the Bible talks about, you know, how we think in our heart, so is he. And I know there's some things that go on in my heart sometimes that I don't want to ponder it because I want to get it out of there. I want to get rid of it because I don't want to think about it because there's wickedness in my flesh. There are things, so I need to learn to trust in them, but I also need to learn to delight in them. Corey Ten Boom said it this way, look around and you'll be distressed. Look within and you'll be depressed. Look to the Lord and you'll be at rest. And I like that. So once again, it says Corey Ten Boom, who went through a lot in her life, look around and you'll be distressed. Look within and you'll be depressed. Look to the Lord and you'll be at rest. See, the psalmist exhorts us to delight in the Lord. Now, if you delight yourself in anything other than the Lord, things are subject to change. But remember, as Malachi says, the Lord never changes. So it's a step process. We're going to learn to trust in him. And I think most of us say, okay, I trust God. I want to do good. But it takes a step farther. I actually want to delight in doing the things that are good. I want to find joy in it. Does it mean I always am going to enjoy doing everything? No. We'll be honest, sometimes our day isn't going the greatest. We need to go find that delight in the Lord. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to get into singing. We need to get our joy in Him. You know, we work up our own joy, we're going to disappoint ourselves sooner or later. Something is not going to always go right, and the Bible talks about how you're never going to be satisfied. I think about Solomon, and as I was thinking about desires, and I went through that word search, and it's one of the things came up about the desires that Solomon had. And I think it was Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. It talked about how he did not withhold anything that he desired from himself. Once again, probably the wisest man to live, except for Jesus Christ, obviously. One of the wealthiest men, one of the most privileged men, one of the most ingenious men, to ever live. And he says, I could have anything I wanted, and I had it whenever I wanted it. whether it's women, whether it's food, whether it's pleasure, whatever it was. He had everything he wanted. And in the exact same chapter, he said, I hated life. He couldn't find joy in all those things. But you know what we can find joy in and delight in? We can delight in the Lord. So it's not just trusting him, it's doing good. Not only is it just doing good, it's actually delighting in doing good. And verse number 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. So the next thing is committing your way unto the Lord. This way is talking about a lifestyle. Commit your life to God. It's the idea of saying, okay, Lord, I not only am I going to trust in you, and not only am I going to do good and I'm going to delight in you, I'm going to make that my lifestyle. I'm not just talking about doing it for Christmas. I'm not just talking about doing it for December so I can enjoy the birth of Christ. I'm talking about making this my life. I'm committing my way unto the Lord, my well-traveled path, my path that I'm going down. I see that I need to trust in him. I see that I need to not only do right, but I also need to delight in that. Now, this is the decision I'm making, not just for today. It's forever. I'm committing my way. Now, that when someone gets sick, I'm still going to delight in it. When something goes wrong, I'm going to delight in it. When someone treats you badly and treats you wrongly, I'm not going to change who I am because my delight isn't found in me and found in my own personal things. I'm going to delight in the Lord. If our standard of living has changed, that means that our standard of life won't change either. It's very important that we understand there's a difference between a standard of living and a standard of life. And that the fact that we live a certain way, and as we live for the Lord, that means our life will have that same path. Next thing is rest in the Lord. I like this. In verse number 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I like reading that. I don't like living that. I like resting in the Lord and just having confidence. Now that I've made my choice, I've committed to God, I can rest because my choice is good. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to do good. I'm going to delight in him. I've made my choice and committed my path. Now all I have to do is rest because I don't have to worry about it. I don't know about you, but sometimes people get anxious and worried about things they can't do anything about. Sometimes they worry about what that decision that other person is going to make when it's that person's decision. You know, should we pray about it? We should pray. We should strive together in prayer like we learned about in Sunday school class. But I can't do anything to fix that. Somebody else has got to take care of that. And that's what the Bible is saying. Rest in the Lord. Be at peace in him. Be at peace with your decision. Don't let anxiety and worry say, well, what if? No, the what if is that I'm trusting in God. And I'm doing right, and I'm going to delight in it, and I'm committing my way. You cannot rest until you've trusted. You cannot rest until you delight it. You cannot rest until you've committed your life to the Lord. This word rest literally has the idea of being silent before the Lord. It means that we're not supposed to murmur, we're not supposed to complain. And then you see the next phrase, and wait patiently for him. You know, the Bible speaks about being patient. Waiting on the Lord. So many times I want to fix people. I need to fix myself first, but I want to fix people. I want to change people. I want everybody to have the joy that I have sometimes and the love that I have sometimes and this, but I don't want anybody to be like me. I want them to be like Christ. And sometimes there's a patience that's involved in that. Sometimes there is a turning over to the Lord and saying, God, I'm going to give this over to you and I'm going to wait patiently for you. I'm not going to tell you what I want you to do and wait on you to do that. I'm going to wait for you to do whatever you think is what's best. So often people say, okay, God, this is what I want you to do. Now I'm waiting on you. Now, if we learn to trust in him back here and we learn to do good and delight in him, we commit our way to him, if we're resting in the Lord, what we're going to do is we're going to wait patiently for him. Okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do here, but I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting. Okay, Lord, I'm delighting in you and I'm waiting for you. And then you see the verse above that, verse number 6. You get the idea David is saying here, and he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. I don't know about you, but can you imagine what some people said about David over the years? Think about it. Saul, to get his 3,000 men to go chasing him after in the wilderness, I mean, I know he was king. The soldiers are going to listen to him. But I'm sure he had a lot of wicked things to say about David. Can't believe you do that. He's trying to steal the kingdom. He's blah, blah, blah. And David says, look, and it's what happened, and it's the truth. What came out, it brought forth his righteousness in the end. David, he could have killed Saul, but he chose not to touch God's own anointed. And in the end, the righteousness came as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. What the Bible is saying there is, yes, as it says in verse number 1, you know, because of evildoers, don't fret about them, neither be thou envious. You know, there's things that are going to happen because of evil people. You go at the end of verse number 7, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, there are going to be people out there that are bad, and there are people who are going to say things that are wrong. But what the scriptures are saying here is we will learn to trust and do good, learn to delight in doing good, and commit our way that God will bring forth thy righteousness as the light. You know, what did David's older brother say about him when he was on the battlefield of Goliath? He mocked him, laughed at him. So who did you leave those few sheep with? But who was the guy at the end holding the giant's head? Whose righteousness came forth? Who was the one that was not afraid, that came to light? I'm sure David's older brother, Eliab, was saying, he can't fight, he can't do it. He's just a little boy, he's a little shepherd boy. Don't even pay any attention to him. And there were people that were saying negative things, like Saul. But in the end, righteousness came forth, righteousness came truth, and in the end, we all know the truth. And it's important. We need to learn to trust in him. We need to be able to say, God, whatever it is you want me to do. And we coming across a season that's supposed to put Christ in the center and Christ first, are we trusting in him today? Is he God of Christmas for you? He's supposed to be God all year round, but Christmas time, are we worrying? I don't know, this is going to happen. I don't know, what if this person gets sick? Or what if, and we begin becoming anxious and worry about so many things, we lose the joy and the peace that Christmas brought us through Jesus Christ. And then we not only trust it and we learn to do good, and not only do we learn to do good, we learn to delight in it. We enjoy doing good. Sometimes, you know, you talk to people and you're like, hey, let's go do this. Yeah, I have to do it. I don't really want to do it. I don't really want to forgive. I don't want to admit I did something wrong. I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to give. I don't want, you know, but what the Bible's saying here, if we learn how to delight in those things of God, it changes us, our desires. We'll actually have a desire to want to do those things. And then he says, commit thy way. Make it a pattern that lasts forever. And then rest in the Lord. This morning, you know, I know the Lord, when he spoke to my heart about this, it's, what is my desires? What do I spend the most time about? What do I spend the most money on? What is the thing that I get the most enjoyment out of? And then he says, if you delighted in me, those things might be a little bit different. I remember somebody reading something one time, someone saying, you know, if you could have one thing in this world, what would it be? And I began, you know, people talk about money, things. And then one person said, I wish that every single person had the opportunity to hear the gospel. They had a different desire than everybody else did. I wish my family would all be successful, or I wish my whole family to be saved. And those are good things. But that person had the same heart desire that God has when he tells us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel and teach the gospel. Teach the truths that are there. What is your greatest desire in life? Well, I want, if you delight in the Lord, would it be the same desire? Of course we want help for our children. Of course we want help for our grandkids. Of course we want to see people doing well and America doing well. And all those things, there are a long list of things that we like to see happen. But if we delighted in the things of God, would our desire be something different? So often we want our rights and we demand our rights, and people should listen to me, people should obey, and people should do it the way I think because I know what's best. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you doing good? Is your the things that you're saying, the mouth that you have, the attitude that you have, is this doing good? Because then you can learn to delight in him. Then you can learn to commit. And after all those things, you can rest in the Lord. There's a bumper sticker that was brought to my mind when I was studying for this lesson. Too blessed to be stressed. I thought that was kind of neat. I'm too blessed to be stressed. In all reality, if you're a Christian today and a believer, you are too blessed to be stressed. But many times people do not. They live a life full of stress and worry because they do not rest in the Lord. And it's because they've never learned to trust, they've never learned to delight, and they've never learned to commit. Now, I talk about not worrying about anything or being stressed about anything. Praise the Lord. There is one group of people that really need to worry and be stressful. Who's that? A person who does not know Christ as their personal Savior. You know, this morning, we're telling what the scriptures are saying, and David is saying to, as a believer, and he's speaking to others that have faith in God, rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord, commit your way unto the Lord, delight in the Lord. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have much, much to be worried about. The Bible speaks of how there is one of two places you go when you die, either heaven or hell. And it's each of us and every single person that's ever been born is headed that way, except for Jesus Christ, because he was born without a sin nature. But Jesus Christ paid our sin debt for us. That's what Christmas is all about. When God became man to die for the sins of mankind. And he offers you a way of salvation. He offers you if you will turn to him in faith and with repentance and ask God to save you and seeing yourself as a sinner, knowing that you need a Savior and cry out to him, you can believe on him and trust in him today. This morning, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, if you do not know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to come forward during the invitation. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible, take you to the back room somewhere, and just sit down and talk to you about what the scripture says about how a person could be saved on the way to heaven and not have to worry about their eternal destiny. But there is an eternal destiny. This life is just as a vapor. It's only here for a short time. There is eternity to follow. And you make your decision in this world of what you do with Jesus Christ, whether you'll spend eternity in a place called heaven or a place called hell. And I pray that as you hear the promises that are given in Psalms chapter 37 about trusting, about resting, about committing, you know, all those things are great and delighting. Those are all great for those that are believers on their way to heaven. But if you do not know Christ, if you do not have him as a personal Savior, there's something you should be concerned about. But it's something you can get settled today. Let me encourage you to do that today. And as we begin the month of December, I thought about preaching a Christmas-style message, but this is a little bit like that because I know what we many times act like around Christmas. We are so busy going here and there, so many activities, worried about so many things. We forget to delight in the Lord and delight in his presence. We're standing in his presence each and every day. Let God help you enjoy your Christmas season. And the only way that happens is if we learn to trust in him and begin to delight and commit that I'm going to rest in the Lord this season. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for our time of invitation.